November 13th. So we're doing the first Galata here, right? Tanu Rabbanan, that's what we're up to? So I guess we'll just read the facts again quickly for the first one. This is Tanu Rabbanan, Samtam. So it's a lima. Samtam means it's a complete potion or medicine. Rashi, Shalem. It's complete. Inachazer Shumatzala. It's not lacking any saving. It's all. Okay? What does it mean? So explain. Nimshal Torah Kisam Chaim. Torah is compared to a potion of life. Mashal Adam Shikas Bino Maka Gdola. It's like a mashal of a guy who hit his son a big maka. Okay? Viniachal Ritiya Al Maka. So he put a bandage on his maka of Amrla. Bini. Kozma Shiritiya Zu Al Maka. As long as this Ritiya is on your wound. Eat what you want, drink what you want, wash with hot, with cold. You have nothing to be afraid of. Okay? Rashi says, you could even eat candy. Okay? Which are usually not good for our wounds. Okay? The honey, sweets. Okay? But if you take off this bandage, then it's going to bring forth an infection or something to that effect. And also our corrosive wounds. Sores. Kacha Shracha. I'm only Yisrael. So too Hashem said to Yisrael, B'ni! Barasi Yetzirah. I created Yetzirah, Bashel Tov Tavon. And I created the Torah, its spices, its medicines. V'yimatam Oskim B'Torah. Inatam Sarm Yadav. If you learn Torah, you're involved in Torah, then you will not be given over to attention. Now we're alone. Tetev says, if you do good, then you'll be successful. You'll rise above it. Nashta tisnasil, so you'll rise above your yetzer. V'inatam oskim b'Torah. But if not, if you're not involved in Torah, inatam nesor b'yado, you'll be given over to his hands. Shenemar lepesach atas rovitz. So you'll be crouching at the door. Sin will be crouching at the door. V'lo, v'lo shekom samotan rucha. Not only that, will you be given over his hand, it will always be busy with you. And to you is its desire. But if you want, you could rule over. And Rashi says, if you want, you could learn Torah and you'll rule over it. Let's come back to that again. Okay? That's the mashal. Any questions? So the question is, what's the nimshal for the sweets, like what is it that the Torah is allowing you to do? Where that part of the mashal doesn't exactly follow through. But what's the mashal? Of course, the question. Also, the question we raised last time is: it sounds like the end is repetitive, right? Because if you want, you can rule over it if you learn Torah. Well, anyway, that was the whole thing: is that if you learn Torah, then you don't have any problems. So now we're just saying, and if you learn Torah, you don't have any problems. That was the whole point. How do we approach this? I mean, what do you think is a good line of reasoning to approach this? I think that's what you have to understand. A good way to approach it is to look at the mashal. Before you get to the nimshal about Torah, let's look at the mashal itself and understand that, all right? Because apparently it's saying is Torah is to be compared to this story, this case. So apparently this story, if we understand the story well, then we'll be able to carry over to Torah and understand, all right? So presumably the story is still a little simpler to understand than Torah, and that's why it's going to, help us understand Torah. So we should at least understand what the story is about. So I guess it's suggesting, well, why is the father hitting the son altogether? Right? I mean, he's hitting him in Makkah Gadol. What's the deal? What's going on in the story? What's the point of that whole story? You know, I mean, and then, if we understand that, then we could carry over, well, how does that now carry over towards Torah, you know? It doesn't really tell you why he hit the son in the first place. I mean, what's he hitting him and giving a bandage? If you would have never hit him in the first place, you wouldn't have had to give him any bandages, right? Yeah. And let him have the sweets. Those sweets is going to destroy the bandage, right? All the sweets are only bad because of the fact that he has the bandage. Why did he give him this hit in the first place? I mean, it says, for instance, the father gave him the hit. It doesn't say, mashal, the kid who has a wound. It should say, a kid has a wound, and the father gives him a bandage. And he tells him all these rules, this whole thing. Doesn't say, it sounds like the father is giving him the wound. It would seem to be there's a reason for it. Otherwise, the father sounds like a strange father. What's he doing? It does seem somehow that the father is trying to help the kid. Yeah, it seems so. I mean, why else is the father doing it? We're not assuming the father just got really upset at his kid and then just gave him a whack. And then, that sounds, has nothing to do with the story, It seems like Tzvi's point is good. Is that that it must be that he hit the kid for some reason. There must have been some sort of problem with the kid while he's hitting him, right? Now, could we conjecture somehow? What do you think would be a safe assumption of why he's hitting the kid? Do you have any hints? So maybe what Jake is getting at is that it seems that the kid, at least what the father is telling him he could do, it seems like the kid was just eating all kinds of things, and he's just doing wild. I mean, totally out of control, you know? Eating what he wanted, eating these candies, eating these sweets, eating these that, washing what he wanted, whatever these things are. But it sounds like the kid just was wild. He was just doing whatever he wanted. He was out of control. No discipline. And that does that hurt a person, or does that only hurt a person that has wounds? It hurts everybody. It hurts everybody. I mean, it hurts people more so when you have wounds, but certainly, I mean, it depends on the extent. But, I mean, if the kid is wild and out of control, he's going to hurt himself. Right? I mean, he is going to hurt himself, right? So I think, why assume he had some other problem? I mean, presumably his problem was in the area which the father is telling him that he's going to be able to do now under certain conditions. So that's presumably, the thing is, the kid was wild, out of control, involving himself in his taivas and whatever the case may be, you know? And the father needed to find some method of correcting the kid, right? Some method of correcting the kid. Okay, so how'd he do it? Now that the kid has the wound... So in other words, what happened is before he had the wound, if he would start eating all the stuff and start acting in an undisciplined manner, he would be harming himself. But he wouldn't really notice the harm. The consequences would not be immediately noticeable to the kid. It would just harm his personality, his soul, his whatever. Maybe he would be a less happy person or whatever in some sort of way. But the consequences aren't manifest. The kid's not going to feel it. He's going to say, "What do you mean? I love this stuff. This is great. I want to do all this stuff." You know. But now the father knows he's really harming himself. But what the father's doing is he's giving him a condition. And now that he has this wound, basically he realizes that if he just totally hefker about what he does, then he's going to feel pain. He's going to actually have sores. Numi. Right? And in order not to have the numi, well, that's interesting. In order not to have the numi, what does he have to do? All he has to do is keep the bandage on. He doesn't have to stop doing this stuff, right? It seems if you take the bandage off and he wouldn't be eating all this stuff, then he'd also be okay. But if he wants to do this stuff, he could do it, but he has to realize the danger of it.
Right.
And the fact that he has to keep the bandage on, he has to have a constant reminder of the fact that there is a danger here, and he's only going to avoid the danger insofar as he does it in a specific way. He has to have an awareness of the danger of these types of things. And the fact that he could only do it with certain conditions. Now, the bandage is a reminder to him that there is a danger, you know. But the father is presumably pointing out to him that there is a real danger here. It's just now that he has the wound, the danger is, you know, he's in a weakened condition, so the danger becomes more manifest or whatever, because he's weak and now actually get infection. But it's basically pointing out to the kid, it seems to be it's stopping the kid from just totally indulging in an uncontrolled manner. I mean, it's forcing him, even though the control doesn't demand that much, he just has to keep the Band-Aid on. Yeah. I mean, but I guess the bandage isn't something you just put on and forget about it. He has to keep it on. I mean, I guess whatever. He has to attend to it. He has to change it when he gets, whatever. I mean, whatever it is, he has to realize that he can't just, these typos are dangerous, they're harmful to him, and he can't just involve himself in them without first thinking about it and realizing that there is a harm, and he has to make sure he offsets the harm in a manner which is appropriate. But the point of the father's doing it is because he wants the kid to be able to think about things before he's involved in all his things. He has no problem of involving himself in enjoying some sweets, as long as the kid realizes first that he has to do it with his hat. He has to think about it. He can't just do it in an uncontrolled manner. The controlled manner is just to wear the bandage. But the point is that itself changes the kid's attitude towards it. He's not just doing things in a wild, hefker manner without thought. He has to be thinking, am I wearing my bandage? Is my bandage on? Is it real? Am I still tending to it? He has to realize there's a danger going on here. There's something to think about. That's a difference in attitude, even though he may be eating the same amount of sweets. But he has a certain difference in attitude. Okay, so now, so that's the mashal. Now the question is, what's the nimshal? So I think it carries over fine. Okay, well, I mean, there's one point where we'll get back to, but so the saying is that similarly is the case with the Yetzirah. Okay, at least this is the essence of the mashal, is that with the Yetzirah, if a guy involves himself in his Yetzirah unchecked, in a wild kind of a way, without having any restraints, he's going to get it. It's going to harm him. okay, and there are going to be consequences. Okay, there are going to be consequences if he's involved. The way Hashem made man is that if you're involved in your Yetzirah, okay, without any check, you're gonna be frustrated. You're gonna harm yourself. It's the wrong life, but there are actually gonna be consequences. There are gonna be emotional consequences. They're gonna harm you. You're not gonna be happy. Okay, but it's saying is that you don't have to not involve yourself in your Yetzirah and your Taiva. But what you have to do is it simply has to be checked. And that's what Torah is a tafim, is that insofar as you're involved in Torah, you know, in Halacha, in Chachma, so then you could actually satisfy your Taivas. You can actually satisfy them and they will not harm you. They will not harm you per se. They're not intrinsically harmful, the involving yourself in the Taivas. Okay, just like the candy and the sweets weren't intrinsically harmful. But they're harmful when they're done unchecked. When you involve yourself in them without any thought, when it's just totally whatever you want, you do. But once you're, if you're involved in them with thought involved, okay, and under the confines of, you know, under the limits of Torah, then you're involved, you're osek in Torah, so you're living a life of Torah, then you could involve yourself in that Yetzirah, okay, you could satisfy your pleasures, and it'll be fine. It's not going to harm you. So the Torah is the potion, the medicine, which allows you to be able to satisfy your emotions, your instincts, and at the same time not to be harmed by them. You know what I mean? But the second you veer away from Torah, and you just then you're basically just going to follow your emotions unchecked, then you know, you're gone. Then basically you're gonna be harmed. Okay. And Torah is designed in a way, in a perfect manner. I mean, Torah in general way is because it keeps you under control of your mind. But the whole system, the whole Torah, the whole, you know, is designed in a way so that the person will be able to involve himself in his taivas, and he won't be out of control. And in a similar way, it's because his involvement in his taiva is based on chachma. Right? I mean, that's kedusha. I mean, that's the idea of kedusha. Right? Because when he's involved in his taiva in that manner, under the control of his mind, then he won't be harmed. You know. So that's the way Hashem made man with this Yetzirah, and then He made him with this, with the Torah as its medicine. I think the question is, why does it say the fact the father gave the kid the hit, and why not just say that the kid fell and got a wound on his own? Yeah. But I think it's saying is that Hashem made it the Yetzirah in a way where if a person involves himself in it unchecked, he's gonna have harm. He made it, it's dangerous. In other words, the nature of the Yetzirah is dangerous, and it's harmful to a guy. You know what I mean? Hashem could have made it that either you involve yourself in Chachma, or you involve yourself in emotion. And if you involve yourself in Chachma, then you have perfection and the good, and if not, then whatever. You just don't have the good. It doesn't have to be set up in a way that there's actually many negatives which result from involving yourself in that life. It doesn't have to be that way. In other words, the fact that the Mashal is saying is that the Yetzirah needs a medicine means that it's dangerous and it's harmful and it's going to hurt you. So it means Hashem made the Yetzirah in a way that if a person is involved in it unchecked, he's going to be harmed. And therefore he realizes that this Yetzirah is dangerous and it's out of control and it needs a medicine. And that was done in a way that will assist man in being able in following Torah. Because if there were no negative consequences which came about from following Yetzirah, then it would be much more difficult for you to choose the Derech Torah. Just like by the father and that kid, if the father didn't give the kid this kid the wound, then the consequences of eating the sweets would go unnoticed to the kid before it's too late, and he'd harm himself. So therefore, the father put a condition in the kid where if he eats the sweets unfettered, he's gonna have consequences, and therefore he's gonna always remember the danger of them, and he's going to make sure he eats the sweets in a controlled manner. So similarly, saying Hashem made the Yetzirah, it's not just that he made the Yetzirah, but he made the Yetzirah in a way that it will produce negative effects if a person is involved in it without Torah, without Chachma, without being controlled. And the why he did that, because in order so that that would help a person in following Torah, because he realizes that the second he goes away from Torah, it's bad. He gets numi, whatever the numi is. He has frustrations, he has difficulties in life, and and that's set up in a way. Hashem made that in a way to assist man in being able to get away from, to pull himself out of the grips of that life. You know what I mean? So I think it's good. It's very good. That was the way it was designed. If you follow Torah, you won't have the pain. So if you follow Torah, you won't have the pain of the frustrations or the emotions which result. And on the contrary, you're going to actually be able to satisfy them, and you'll be happy. You'll be happy with them. It could be a question here. So if you're frustrated, if the emotions are frustrating before Torah, so then how's Torah going to make them not frustrating? What I'm saying is, it could be the reason they're frustrating is when you're involved in taivas, so to speak, without any control, then basically you're looking for something more than is actually there. You're going to follow your fantasies that it's going to actually give you ultimate satisfaction, and you're going to make them into more than they are, and it's going to be frustrating because they're not really going to give you what you're looking for. But if they're under the control of the Chachma, then you realize their place. I mean, you realize that they're not an end-all, and you're involved in them in an intelligent manner, and as such, you can actually gain the satisfaction which is built into them. I mean, if you're looking for more than that, without Chachma, you're going to be, because they're limitless. So then you're not going to be able to even get what they really can give you. But if you realize what they could give you, and you involve yourself in them accordingly, then you'll be able to satisfy yourself, you know, and you'll actually enjoy them. The good advice, I mean, if following this line of reasoning through, it's a good lesson in life, is that when a person sees that he's like facing frustrations, difficulties in life, oftentimes, I mean, you should look into the fact that it might be because of his chait somehow, because of the fact that he's really swaying from Torah and swaying from the Derech Torah. You know what I mean? And if he's involved in, you know, if he's not checked in his pursuits of his daivas, whatever they may be, could be that's why he's really having these frustrations. And if he gets himself back in line and goes back on the path of Torah, then he'll even say emotionally, he'll be able to satisfy himself in a different kind of way. You know what I mean? His saying is if following this Chazal, saying that's the way Hashem built nature, is that there will be, it's, if you're feeling pain because from the taivas, you should know that's the way they were designed. They were designed in a way that they need medicine. And if you involve yourself in them without the medicine, you can end up getting numi. So don't think of numi, don't blame it on the fact that you happen to things happen to not work out. Things didn't happen to not work out. Your path is the wrong path, and that's why things aren't working out. Change the path. Don't just try another approach within that same crowd path. Okay, so that's what it's saying is that the Torah is, but then it goes further, right? Because it says, if you're involved in Torah, alone, Tetiv says, that's what it means. If you're a Tetiv, you're involved in Torah, then it's not Sel Yitzrachah. Then you'll be able to control your emotions. Your emotions won't lead you down crazy corrupt paths, right? If you're involved in Torah. Apparently saying is, if you're not involved in Torah, don't think you're going to be able to just control your taivas just with your self-control. It doesn't work that way. Self-control doesn't do it. You have to be involved in Torah. Okay, Torah is designed in a perfect way where it gives a person perfection. Because you need perfection to be able to control yourself. I mean, perfection in Torah is designed as the tavlin for the taivas. And if you're going to sway from Torah, you're just going to try to do it on your own. I mean, I'm not saying no one in the history of man has ever done it, but generally speaking, you're not going to pull it off. You know, Torah is designed by Hashem as the appropriate method. So, im teitiv says, but then it says, im ein atem oskim Torah atem sarim biyado. If you're not on Torah, then Shanema Pesach Hatas Rovets, that the sin, the instinct is waiting there to get you. The second you basically lose sight of Chachma, and you're just involved in the turn towards your desires, it's going to get you. They're there waiting to attack you. It's just a matter of, insofar as you are you have the upper hand and you're in control, then you'll be able to avoid the danger. But they're going to get you if you turn away. And what does it say? It says, "The law of El Shakol Maso Matano Bcha." She never Vadachad Shukaso. Not only that, but all of its desire, all of its energy, so to speak, all of its dealings is with you. So what's that saying? What's that? Lo od is adding another point. It means that so far it says it's like in the bandage. They put on the bandage, and you take off the bandage, and now you're susceptible to the infections or whatever. If you're involved, right? Let's say in the mashal. If you now start eating all this crazy stuff, then you're gonna be harmed, you know? So in other words, taking off the bandage doesn't harm you per se, it makes you nimsar biyado. It makes you susceptible now. Whereas now you stop learning Torah, now you're susceptible to the Torah. But you might say, okay, fine, I'm susceptible. But so maybe I won't be harmed necessarily. Maybe I won't necessarily. Maybe I could ward it off for a little bit. Or maybe it's not going to attack me. Maybe if I'm not involved in it in a crazy way, then I'm going to be able to still avoid the harm. It's true. If I'm involved in Torah, then I'll protect it. But maybe if I go away from Torah, maybe you'll get me, maybe I won't. You know, maybe it won't necessarily get me. But the thing is, besides the fact that once you stop Torah, you don't have the medicine. But now, means it is constantly going after you. And the second you're going to go away, once you lose the medicine, it's not like just now it depends. Now it is totally in full force against you, and you're going to be, now it's really an attack. It's not, there's no neutral. It's not like you just not have the protection, but now you're just subject to, you know, it's neutral. If you want to, you know, go to yes or no. But no, kol masal matan rachal means that your taivas are always presenting, once you don't have chachma, then your taivas are always presenting other values, other views of reality, other things that are going to pull you away. And there's no, you can't just say, I'm not going to be on Torah, and now I'll just stay on a neutral course, you know, on a pretty safe sailing. There's no safe sailing. It's the nature of the taivas are that they're unrelenting, they're going, they're vying to get you under their sway. And it's not that you can't just not have the protection and hope to succeed. It's not happening. You know what I mean? Yeah. As a guy would say, maybe, look, I won't follow Torah, but I'll be moderate. I'll follow a moderate lifestyle. So I'm not going to throw myself into the grips of the taiva. Maybe that's a good solution. I only need Torah if I want to start doing a lot of taiva. But if I give up Torah, now I can just follow a moderate amount of taiva, normal, basic, simple, you know? I say, no. It's always going to get you, and if you're not involved until you don't have the protection, you're gonna go down. It's not, you can't stop it. You can't, it's not like, you can't just try to moderate yourself and avoid the harm of the tide. It's always vying for reality, for your attention, and to tell you this is what you want to do. So it's not like you don't have to incite it. You don't have to go to it. It's coming at you. And if the second you lose your defenses, you're gone. That's the sign. Okay. So what does it say then? It says, but the Lord is going right. V'imatarotza atamoshalo. But if you want, then Rashi says you can learn Torah, and then you can rule over it. What's this? I mean, this was the whole thing originally. This is going back to the whole original point. The whole original point is if you're involved in Torah, then that's your medicine. So what do you mean v'imatarotza atamoshalo? Yeah, that was the whole beginning of the story. Why is it coming back to that now? That's what I said. That's what Michael said. See, you might feel like, in the case of the mashal, let's say the kid takes off his bandage, and now he gets now the infection, he gets numi. Could he just put the bandage back on, and now it's all going to go away? And it doesn't necessarily work that way. I mean, there's, you lose. Sorry, buddy, right? So the thing you might think is that the Torah is going to prevent you, protect you against the taiva. Now you let go of Torah, now that Selech Chukasso is going to get you, Komasan Matan Mecha. Now you're in a situation where you lost. Now you're a Mr. Taiva guy. Now is Torah necessarily? Now could you get back? Could you back? Is it? Is it over? That's it. I lose. But that say is no. That's the Tim Shabbo. Is that just like the Torah protected you? The Torah could get you back on track, although it's more difficult. It's more difficult, but it's still, don't despair and think that's it. Kol Masalim Matan Mecha. I gave up the medicine. I got under its sway, and that's it. It's all over. That's no. The Torah, just like it has the preventative effect, it could also have a curative effect. And the Torah could, after you went there, you still have the ability to come back. How? Through Torah. Through Torah, you still have the same. The Torah's design has, not only does it prevent you from swaying, it also has the ability of pulling you out of it. You know what I mean? That's a new dimension. You know what I mean? It's interesting how it paints the picture of the mashal. But the muscle only goes so far, you know? And then it fills in the details. It's Kamasana Tanabacha and the fact that it's gonna, you know, Matarashabo. It's like a muscle could only be so good, you know. So it's like following after it gives you the essential muscle, then it follows up with other, you know, by the medicine you don't have that. You don't have Kamasana Tanabacha by the bandage, and you don't have the Imatarasatashabo. But that's just filling it in with the psukim, you know? By Kayan. You know what I mean? Here? Okay, it's good. Okay, so I'm off tomorrow. Okay, so tomorrow we have a few more, right? Kashi Yitzhar Shafir Yotzer Koro Ra, even Hashem calls it Ra, which we asked the question, right?
Yeah.
What kind of thing is that? Of course, if it's Ra, then Hashem's going to call it Ra. Why is he biased? Because he created it. And then the other thing, Yitzhar Shon Skadish Lev Echoyom, what's that? Yitzhar Skarim Vakish Amiso, what's the deal with that? And Pagam Echom Enovel Zemesh Kilbe. So these are like less than, this one was very like involved muscles. These are like more like one-liners, you know? So we have like four of them though. So let's try to finish them tomorrow. Again. After this, we're going back to the halacha. After this, basically, we're going back to keep it. We're starting keep it avayim. Okay, so we keep it avayim.